Manuscript Releases, Volume 9, Mr. Number 760. Manuscript Release Number 760, Audio. The Integrity of the Sanctuary Truth, A Group of Ellen G. White Statements Made in 1905, 1906, and 1907 Regarding Elder A. F. Ballinger's Teachings. Introductory Note. For the Seventh-day Adventist Church, the first decade of the present century was a time when doctrinal inroads seriously threatened. He pantheistic teachings espoused and promulgated by Dr. John Harvey Kellogg from 1897 onward were supported by his book The Living Temple, published in Battle Creek in 1903. Ellen White saw the pantheistic concepts of God in the flower, the tree, the atmosphere, and in each one of us as virtually doing away with God, and therefore seriously undercutting the sanctuary truth. This she frequently mentioned. Hen early in 1905 Elder A. F. Ballinger, working in England, developed and expounded views which formed the basis for a direct attack on the sanctuary truth. Later in that year these views became known to Adventist workers at the General Conference session held in Washington, D.C. At that conference Ellen White pointed out Elder Ballinger's errors not only in interviews with him, but also in written communications based on visions she had received from the Lord. Ballinger rejected Ellen White's admonitions and continued to hold his views unchanged. Resented here are statements of Ellen White giving warning against the Ballinger positions and underscoring the integrity of the sanctuary doctrine as taught by Seventh-day Adventists from their very earliest years. He letters and manuscripts are quoted in full, or nearly so, even though Ellen White deals with several subjects in some of the documents. I'm not able to sleep past 1 o'clock. I was aroused to write out some things that have been impressed on my mind. Not long ago I met Elder Ballinger in the hall of the building in which we have rooms. As I spoke to him, it came vividly to my mind that this was the man whom I had seen in an assembly bringing before those present certain subjects, and placing upon passages in the Word of God a construction that could not be maintained as truth. He was gathering together a mass of scriptures such as would confuse minds because of his assertions and his misapplication of these scriptures. For the application was misleading and had not the bearing upon the subject at all which he claimed justified his position. Anyone can do this, and will follow his example to testify to a false position, but it was his own. I said to him, "You are the one whom the Lord presented before me in Salamanca, as standing with a party who were urging that if the Sabbath truth were left out of the Sentinel, the circulation of that paper would be largely increased. You were the one that wept and confessed your mistakes. And we had the power of the Holy Spirit in that early morning meeting. Had been very sick, and yet had tried to speak to the people, and the Lord had strengthened me greatly. I had not knowledge of my words. The Lord spoke indeed through me. After I had given my last talk, my sufferings were so severe as to become almost unendurable. List of appointments had been sent out for me to fill on my way from Salamanca to Battle Creek. It seemed impossible for me to fill these appointments. I went to my room and bowed in prayer. I had not been able to utter a word of prayer before the room was lighted up with the glory of God and scenes passed before me. I saw an assembly in a room in Battle Creek, and one standing up held up the Sentinel and said, 'The Sabbath question must be cut out of this paper. Then the circulation will be largely increased and the truth will come before thousands.' Any of authority came forward and said solemnly, 'Bind up the testimony and seal the law among my disciples.' Then came the reproof, decided, firm, and cutting. 'The Sabbath truth is to be proclaimed. It is the truth for these last days.' The words found in Exodus 31 verses 12 to 18 were repeated with great solemnity. Cannot now repeat all the things connected with the meeting, but I know that the steps which had been anticipated were not taken. The working of the Spirit of God was in that meeting. That night was a most solemn one for me. There came to my mind the truth that we have been proclaiming since the passing of the time in 1844, when the message came to us regarding the mistake we were making in keeping the first day of the week. We had Bible evidence and the testimony of the Spirit of the Lord that we were keeping a day that bore no sanctity, and that in so doing we were transgressing the law of God. This message we have borne ever since, and I solemnly asked, are our people now to cut out the Sabbath message from the Sentinel and heed the advice and counsel of worldly men, keeping the Sentinel from carrying this most important truth to the world? Could not sleep much that night. The next morning we started for Washington. I was taken very ill, and it was thought best for Sarah and me to return to Battle Creek and not attend the meetings that were laid out for me on my journey. When I arrived at Battle Creek, I learned that our leading brethren had asked the Lord in prayer to send me direct to Battle Creek. Meetings were being held in the various rooms of the tabernacle. One morning I was awakened before daylight. It was as if a voice spoke to me, "Attend the morning meeting." I arose and dressed, and walked across the road to the meeting. As I went into the room, the brethren were in prayer. I united my prayer with those of the rest, praying with great earnestness. The Spirit of the Lord was in the meeting and my soul was deeply stirred. After the season of prayer, I arose to speak and bore a decided testimony with the Spirit and power of God, relating my experience in Salamanca and telling them what the Lord had revealed to me in the vision of the night. After I had borne a decided testimony, Brother Ballinger arose, all broken-hearted and weeping, and said, "I received this testimony as from the Lord. I was in that meeting last night, and I was on the wrong side." That was my surprise to learn that the light I had in Salamanca was given me some time before this meeting was held. The Lord had prepared the way for me to return to Battle Creek and bear my message in the early morning meeting, directly after the evening meeting. I had been shown that steps would be taken to have the sentinel no longer speak boldly upon the question of the true Sabbath of the Lord. The circumstances were such that on this occasion the excuse could not possibly be used. "Somebody has told her." No one had an opportunity to see me or speak with me between the evening meeting and the morning meeting that I attended. Bore the message that the Lord gave me, and some made confessions with broken hearts and contrite spirits. Indeed, now again our Brother Ballinger is presenting theories that cannot be substantiated by the Word of God. It will be one of the great evils that will come to our people to have the Scriptures taken out of their true place and so interpreted as to substantiate error that contradicts the light and the testimonies that God has been giving us for the past half century. I declare in the name of the Lord that the most dangerous heresies are seeking to find entrance among us as a people, and Elder Ballinger is making spoil of his own soul. The Lord has strengthened me to come the long journey to Washington to this meeting to bear my testimony in vindication of the truth of God's Word and the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in confirmation of Bible truth. The Word is sure and steadfast, and will stand the test. Human investigations will be brought in, but the Lord lives and He will bring to naught these inventions. We are to proclaim the full truth of the Word of God with decision and unalterable firmness. There is not truth in the explanations of Scripture that Elder Ballinger and those associated with him are presenting. The words are right but misapplied to vindicate error. We must not give countenance to his reasoning. He is not led of God. Our work is to bind up the testimonies God has given and seal the law among his disciples. Time is worse than lost in spinning out theories that are not sustained in the Bible to vindicate such errors. I am instructed to say to Elder Ballinger, "Your theories, which have multitudes of fine threads and need so many explanations, are not truth, and are not to be brought to the flock of God. The good that you and your associates might have received at this meeting, you have not received. God forbids your course of action making the blessed Scriptures, by grouping them in your way, to testify to build up a falsehood. Et us all cling to the established truth of the sanctuary. Those who are so short-sighted that they will begin to do the work that some others have been doing in advocating the sentiments contained in Living Temple, are departing from the living God and spiritualistic, satanic experiences that will not do the souls who receive them any good. They are departing from the faith, seeking to tear down the foundation of truth. The men who have lost their hold on the truths of the sanctuary question as they have been presented by men who have been under the Holy Spirit's guidance, had better pray more and talk less. I testify in the name of the Lord that Elder Ballinger is led by satanic agencies and spiritualistic, invisible leaders. Those who have the guidance of the Holy Spirit will turn away from these seducing spirits. LL who would gain heaven must follow the example of him who gave his life to save an apostate race, to ransom men and women from eternal death. If the medical missionary workers will unite on the platform of truth with those who are carrying responsibilities in the cause of God, they will be gladly welcomed. But on no other platform than that which the Lord has laid can we unite with them. Never could we combine on any other basis. The foundation has been laid and all who will take their stand upon this platform, uniting wholeheartedly with the Lord's people, will be made welcome with rejoicing. But we cannot unite with those who choose to take their stand upon another foundation. Here is no use in talking of harmony while they continue to do this, for harmony could never exist. God forbids it. There is to be a decided change in those who have kept up their warfare against the principles delivered to us by the Lord. Truth is truth, and righteousness is righteousness. To those who have separated in principle from true believers, choosing their own course, the word is spoken. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. There is to be unity, but it is to be on the right basis. The testimonies that God has given cannot be disannulled. They stand fast in conformity to the word of the living God. Those who unite on the basis of eternal truth will be prospered. But there can be no union between God's people and those who choose to follow the same course of action that some have been following during the past few years. The Lord demands a different showing. Om will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits. I have been shown the way in which these spirits work, and I have been commissioned to say to those who are departing from the faith that they are acting out the same spiritual deception that we have had to meet at various times during our experience. We cannot harmonize with those who cherish the spirit and sentiments of the enemy of God. O science of human invention can find out God. On this subject silence is eloquence. Those who attempt to study human science apart from the word of God will be taught by him who in the Garden of Eden caused the fall of our first parents. Oh, how many there are who fall victims to human science, and in their turn become deceivers. Such ones will have the blood of souls upon their garments. Upon those who have worked out the philosophy of antagonism and apostasy will be pronounced sentence according to their deeds. Christ took human nature upon him, and came to our world to represent and establish the truth. Those who depart from the path cast up for the ransomed of the Lord will fall under the deceptive reasoning of Satan. He becomes their leader, and under his direction they search for scientific problems and erroneous sentiments. I am instructed to say, woe be to those who give place to the deceptive, insinuating sentiments of the enemy. They are no longer safe leaders and they do not realize where they are being led. There is no danger so great as for a man to refuse to confess his errors and to seek to climb to heaven through his study of science. Such a man is not being led of God, but by Satan, who is using deceptive theories to ruin his soul. He who stubbornly refuses to see the light will be given up to his own sophistry, and will lose the power to distinguish between truth and error. I am instructed to bear a testimony to those who are entertaining erroneous sentiments, and to tell them plainly of their danger. But we are in no case to link up with them, or to argue with them. Truth is truth, and we are to stand on the affirmative side, presenting the truth and refusing to be drawn into controversy. When Christ was tempted, his weapon was, it is written. He refused to argue with Satan. Again, the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Matthew 4 verses 8 and 9. The time had come for Christ to bear a positive message. Get thee hence, Satan, he said. For it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him. Matthew 4 verse 10. I am instructed to say that strong temptations will come to everyone, but we are to refuse to listen to them. When men expel God from their thoughts, the realm of the mind is taken by Satan. They enshroud themselves in an atmosphere of Satan's creating. Over the past 50 years, every phase of heresy has been brought to bear upon us, to becloud our minds regarding the teaching of the Word, especially concerning the ministration of Christ in the heavenly sanctuary, and the message of heaven for these last days as given by the angels of the 14th chapter of Revelation. Messages of every order and kind have been urged upon Seventh-day Adventists, to take the place of the truth which, point by point, has been sought out by prayerful study and testified to by the miracle-working power of the Lord. But the waymarks which have made us what we are to be preserved, and they will be preserved, as God has signified through his word and through the testimony of his Spirit. He calls upon us to hold firmly, with the grip of faith, to the fundamental principles that are based upon unquestionable authority, and bidden to bear a message to our people. In the name of the Lord, I am bidden to warn our ministers not to mingle erroneous theories with the truth of God. Pure Bible truth is to stand forth in its nobility and sanctity. It is not to be classified and adjusted according to man's wisdom. The ministers of the gospel are to present truth in its simplicity, through the blessing of God making the scriptures profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Rightly dividing the word of truth. This is the word that should be spoken of all our ministers. But far, far from this, many of our ministers have departed from Christ's plans. The praise of men is coveted, and they strain every faculty in an effort to hunt out and present wonderful things. The Lord bids me counsel them to walk humbly and prayerfully with Him. Your message does not need that which Brother Ballinger is trying to draw into the web. He draws out certain passages so fine that they lose their force. Let our ministers be content to take the word as Christ has given it. Of Him it is written that the common people heard Him gladly. The truth that He presented was to them as the bread of heaven. And clear, plain language I am to say to those in attendance at this conference that Brother Ballinger has been allowing his mind to receive and believe specious error. He has been misinterpreting and misapplying the scriptures upon which he has fastened his mind. He is building up theories that are not founded in truth. A warning is now to come to him and to the people, for God has not indeed the message that he is bearing. This message, if accepted, would undermine the pillars of our faith. Rather, Ballinger does not discern what he is doing any more than Dr. Kellogg discerned that the book Living Temple contains some of the most dangerous errors that could be presented to the people of God. The most specious errors lie concealed in these theories and suppositions, which, if received, would leave the people of God in a labyrinth of error. Those who cherish these theories are building upon the sand, and when the storm and tempest shall come, the structure will be swept away. 2D The words of Christ in the 7th chapter of Matthew. The whole chapter should be carefully considered. It contains warnings for God's people in these last days. Matthew 7 verses 15 to 27 quoted. Your only safety is in walking circumspectly before God. Perilous times are before us. We are to make every effort to stand in the counsel of God and not in our own wisdom. Let the simple doctrines of the Word shine forth in their true bearing, and let them be urged home according to their relative importance. Let us teach only the truth of heavenly origin. Things new and old are connected through the Holy Spirit's guidance when the truth is taught as it is in Jesus, without obscurity, without compromise, without fear, without losing sight of the cross as the great center of all truth. A sanctified presentation of the message for this time, the Holy Spirit will make effective unto the saving of the souls of the hearers. Heed how you mystify the gospel. The plain, thus saith the Lord, rebukes worldliness, dispels difficulties, enlarges the understanding, and answers the question, what must I do that I may inherit eternal life? The Lord calls upon His ministers to reveal a greater intelligence regarding the Holy Spirit's work of grace. He desires them to show in their sermons and in their prayers that they know the work of grace. Jesus Christ, our divine example, is the Lord our righteousness. Stronger determination to know nothing among men but Christ and Him crucified would have given a different character to the work of Brother Ballinger on this ground. By this he would have been saved from spending his time in presenting as truth that which, if received, would undermine the mighty truths that have been established for ages. He who claims that his teachings are sound, while at the same time he is working away from the Lord's truth, has come to the place where he needs to be converted. Rich and inexhaustible storehouse of truth is open to all who walk humbly with God. The ideas of those whose hearts are fully in the work of God are clearly and plainly expressed, and they have no lack of variety, for there is ever before them a rich cabinet of jewels. Those who are striving for originality will overlook the precious jewels in God's cabinet in an effort to get something new. E.T. Not any man enter upon the work of tearing down the foundations of the truth that have made us what we are. God has led His people forward step by step, though there were pitfalls of error on every side. Under the wonderful guidance of a plain, thus saith the Lord, a truth has been established that has stood the test of trial. When men arise and attempt to draw away disciples after them, meet them with the truths that have been tried as by fire. Revelation 3 verses 1 to 3 quoted. Those who seek to remove the old landmarks are not holding fast. They are not remembering how they have received and heard. Those who try to bring in theories that would remove the pillars of our faith concerning the sanctuary or concerning the personality of God or of Christ are working as blind men. They are seeking to bring in uncertainties and to set the people of God adrift without an anchor. Those who claim to be identified with the message that God has given us should have keen, clear spiritual perceptions, that they may distinguish truth from error. The word spoken by the messenger of God is, wake up the watchman. If men will discern the spirit of the messages given and strive to find out from what source they come, the Lord God of Israel will guard them from being led astray. But God is not to be trifled with. The messages that we have received from heaven are true and faithful. When one man strives to bring in new theories which are not the truth, the ministers of God should bear clear warning against these theories, pointing out where, if received, they would lead the people of God. Those who have received the light of present truth should not be easily deceived and readily led from the true path into strange paths. The watchmen are to be wide awake to discern the outcome of all specious reasoning, for serious errors will be brought in to lead the people of God astray. If the theories that Brother Ballinger presents were received, they would lead many to depart from the faith. They would counterwork the truths upon which the people of God have stood for the past 50 years. I am bidden to say in the name of the Lord that Elder Ballinger is following a false light. The Lord has not given him the message that he is bearing regarding the sanctuary service. Our instructor spoke words to Brother Ballinger. You are bringing in confusion and perplexity by your interpretation of the scriptures. You think that you have been given new light, but your light will become darkness to those who receive it. Walk in Christ's footsteps and hold fast that which you have received and heard, and put away any exposition of scripture which means, My Lord delayeth his coming. In such a day as ye think not the Son of Man cometh, and then how will it be with you and those whose minds you have confused? Stop right where you are, for God has not given you this message to bear to the people. Those who receive your interpretation of scripture regarding the sanctuary service are receiving error and following in false paths. The enemy will work the minds of those who are eager for something new, preparing them to receive false theories and false expositions of the scripture. When men come in who would move one pin or pillar from the foundation which God has established by his Holy Spirit, let the aged men who were pioneers in our work speak plainly, and let those who are dead speak also by the reprinting of the articles in our periodicals. Gather up the rays of divine light that God has given as he has led his people on step by step in the way of truth. This truth will stand the test of time and trial. Christ is called the minister of the true tabernacle. He is the head of his church on earth. He declares, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore, and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Matthew 28 verses 18 to 20. He is the minister of the true tabernacle, and he is constantly sending messages to his people. The rich nutriment of sound doctrine will be given to all true laborers. Christ's faithful ambassadors will be taught of God in every sermon that speaks truth to the heart. Christ is indeed the minister of holy things in the true tabernacle, which the Lord pitched and not man. There is a great work to be done in the proclamation of the gospel. God will call men from the plow and from the vineyard and will send them forth into his service, even as Christ called fishermen from their daily occupation. As the first disciples, in obedience to the call of Christ, left their nets and followed him, so will men in humble walks of life go forth today with the message for this time. These devoted servants of Christ will not seek the highest seat, but will follow Christ in the path of self-denial and sacrifice, and they will win souls to the Savior. There are thousands of souls willing to work for the Master who have not had the privilege of hearing the truth as some have heard it, but they have been faithful readers of the Word of God, and they will be blessed in their humble efforts to impart light to others. Let such ones keep a diary, and when the Lord gives them an interesting experience, let them write it down, as Samuel did when the armies of Israel won a victory over the Philistines. He set up a monument of thankfulness, saying, Hitherto hath the Lord helped us. 1 Samuel 7 verse 12. Brethren, where are the monuments by which you keep in view the love and goodness of God? Strive to keep fresh in your minds the help that the Lord has given you in your efforts to help others. Let not your actions show one trace of selfishness. Every tear that the Lord has helped you to wipe from sorrowful eyes, every fear that has been expelled, every mercy shown trace a record of it in your diary. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. Deuteronomy 33 verse 25. Be willing to be little men handling great subjects. I have a warning for those who suppose that they have been given the work of revealing scripture in a new light. This work means substituting human interpretation for the interpretation that God has given. Thus did the heavenly messengers pronounce upon the effort into which Brother Ballinger has entered. My brother, you are in the presence of him who has never failed to accomplish his work or to fulfill his word. Bear not this message that you think means so much. In one way, it does mean much. It means the uprooting of faith in God and the making of infidels. cease from all such work, for it will open the door for many to depart from the faith once delivered to the saints, and to give heed to seducing spirits. In the future, deception of every kind is to arise, and we want solid ground for our feet. We want solid pillars for the building. Not one pin is to be removed from that which the Lord has established. The enemy will bring in false theories such as the doctrine that there is no sanctuary. This is one of the points on which there will be a departing from the faith. Where shall we find safety unless it be in the truths that the Lord has been giving for the last 50 years? I want to tell you that Christ lives. He makes intercession for us, and he will save every one who will come to him in faith and obey his directions. But remember that he does not want you to give your energies to criticism of your brethren. Attend to the salvation of your own soul. Do the work God has given you. You will find so much to do that you will have no inclination to criticize someone else. Use the talent of speech to help and bless. If you do the work God has given you, you will understand what is meant by the sanctification of the Spirit. Do not think that Satan is not doing anything. Do not think that his army is passive. He and his agencies are on the ground today. We are to put on the whole armor of God. Having done all, we are to stand, meeting principalities and powers and spiritual wickedness in high places. And if we have on the heavenly armor, we shall find that the assaults of the enemy will not have power over us. Angels of God will be round about us to protect us. I have the assurance of God that thus it will be. In the name of the Lord God of Israel, I ask you to come up to the help of the Lord, to the help of the Lord against the mighty. If you do this, you will have on your side a strong helper, a personal savior. You will be covered with the shield of providence. God will make a way for you, so that you will never be overtaken by the enemy. I am praying that the power of the Savior will be exerted in behalf of those who have entered into the temptations of the enemy. They are not standing under the broad shield of omnipotence. My brethren, it is our privilege to stand under this shield. The Review and Herald, May 25, 1905. Addressed by E. G. White at the General Conference Session, May 16, 1905. I will not now try to describe the experience through which I passed during the night. I slept, and many things were represented to me. The instruction given me, I wrote out in the night season, while others were sleeping. I have much more to say which will be said to our people with pen and voice. We are to give special attention to the conversion of sinners. Now is the time for every soul to test his own case. It is the prevailing custom to look to human agencies for sympathy. There is called for a much stronger element of moral power. God's people are to live in the clear sense that they have a God to whom they are to go with all their troubles, but go not to human agencies. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally, and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. James 1:5-8. We need to walk humbly before the Lord. His truth is to be substantiated and magnified. We are warned that heresy of every kind will be brought in among the people of God in these last days. One heresy leads to many other heresies in the explanation of the Word of God and in departing from the Lord's designs and plans. Let our meetings in this conference be times for the investigation and building up of the waste places. Isaiah 58:12-14 quoted. The Lord would have us at this time bring in the testimony written by those who are now dead, to speak in behalf of heavenly things. The Holy Spirit has given instruction for us in these last days. We are to repeat the testimonies that God has given his people, the testimonies that present clear conceptions of the truths of the sanctuary, and that show the relation of Christ to the truths of the sanctuary so clearly brought to view. If we are the Lord's appointed messengers, we shall not spring up with new ideas and theories to contradict the message that God has given through his servants since 1844. At that time many sought the Lord with heart and soul and voice. The men whom God raised up were diligent searchers of the Scriptures, and those who today claim to have light, and who contradict the teaching of God's ordained messengers who were working under the Holy Spirit's guidance, those who get up new theories which remove the pillars of our faith, are not doing the will of God, but are bringing in fallacies of their own invention, which, if received, will cut the church away from the anchorage of truth and set them drifting, to where they will receive any sophistries that may arise. These will be similar to that which Dr. J. H. Kellogg, under Satan's special guidance, has been working for years. Our work is to bring forth the strong reasons of our faith, our past and present position, because there are men who, never established in the truth, will bring in fallacies which would tear away the anchorage of our faith. Even presidents of conferences will fear to move, as some have done, dictating and commanding and forbidding. They drive the sheep away into forbidden paths. God sends no man with a message that leads souls to depart from the faith that has been our stronghold for so many years. We are to substantiate this faith rather than tear down the foundation upon which it rests. There will be many converted from among the Jews, and these converts will aid in preparing the way of the Lord and making straight in the desert a highway for our God. Converted Jews are to have an important part to act in the great preparations to be made in the future to receive Christ, our Prince. A nation shall be born in a day. How? By men whom God has appointed being converted to the truth. There will be seen. First the blade, then the ear, then the full corn in the ear. Mark 4 verse 28. The predictions of prophecy will be fulfilled. The day of the Lord will come suddenly, unexpectedly, and men are asleep. Read Matthew 10 verse 16. Behold, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Be ye therefore wise as serpents, and harmless as doves. Manuscript 75, 1905. Building the Waste Places. May 1905. I awake at 3 o'clock. My heart goes forth in grateful thanksgiving that I am free from aches and pains. My right hand is calm and steady, and I can fill my fountain pen without spilling a drop of ink. I thank God that for many years this hand has seldom been weak. I can walk up and down stairs with perfect ease, and some days I go up and down as many as 12 times. I desire with heart and soul to do the work that God has given me as His messenger. I am anxious to give people the evidences of our faith as found in the Scriptures. There are many today who present strange doctrines, giving the Scriptures a wrong meaning. Elder Ballinger thinks that he has new light and is burdened to give it to the people, but the Lord has instructed me that he has misapplied texts of Scripture and given them a wrong application. The Word of God is always the truth, but the doctrines that Elder Ballinger advances, if received, would unsettle our faith in the sanctuary question. Already Elder Ballinger has mystified minds by his large array of texts. These texts are true, but he has placed them where they do not belong. The light on the sanctuary question was given by the Spirit of God, and we who passed through the disappointment of 1844 can testify to the light that was then given on the sanctuary question. Elder Ballinger needs to rest a while and cease to sow the tares which will lead our people on a false track. As the messenger of God, I am to bear no hesitating message on this subject. Elder Ballinger does not see what he is trying to bring to pass. The message that Christ came to give to John on the Isle of Patmos needs now to be carefully studied by Elder Ballinger, for these words of warning tell us that men will arise claiming to have new light, whose theories, if received, would destroy our faith in the truths that have stood the test for half a century. We need to study and understand the message given in the third chapter of Revelation. Revelation 3 verses 1 to 3 quoted. This is a work to be done. There is need for Elder Ballinger to humble his soul before God and to refuse to receive new interpretations of the Scriptures. We have had to meet many men who have come with just such interpretations, seeking to establish false theories and unsettling the minds of many by their readiness to talk, and by their great array of texts which they have misapplied to suit their own ideas. It is too late in this earth's history to get up something new. The erroneous theories that we had to meet in our early experiences in this work drove us to the Lord in prayer. And the Lord gave me, His messenger, a decided message that men were placing a false application on the Word of God. Christ referred to this danger in the words, "Be watchful and strengthen the things that remain, that are ready to die." Revelation 3 verse 2. Woe to the man who teaches false theories.